What's up, Fanatics? It is time for another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by Rob Gray. It's the seniors. What up, dude?
How you doing? I noticed you don't call me your friend anymore.
You're not my friend anymore.
Not my friend, Rob Gray.
You're just
We're sitting in Jared's palatial apartment.
It's incredibly dirty today.
He's just enjoyed some rice checks. I brought myself a probiotic drink to counteract a couple IPAs I drank last night. So we're in full March Madness effect here.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I haven't even showered yet. I rolled out of bed, and I'm recording a podcast.
It's outstanding.
Of course, as always, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Performance Concrete Polishing. If you've got some ugly concrete in your house, they can make it look beautiful for you. Get you a nice little design on there. Anything that you want. If you can think about it, Rob, they can do it for you.
Easier to clean, too.
You know,
when they put it down, it's so, you know, still pretty porous. So, like your cars, you know, a little bit of oil, or you bring in that debris, you know, from the snow, from winter. Definitely a good option.
Stain and polish, artwork and design, logos, engraving, sandblasting patterns, anything you want. Go check them out at their showroom at 11220 Aurora Avenue in Urbandale. Or give them a call at 515-202-6706 or check them out online at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com.
I wonder if they could engrave a picture of John Calipari's favorite band, Train, into a concrete floor of our three-car garage.
So
just let it sprawl across the whole thing.
Yeah, so we talked about this. Who do we think has the best selection? Who's Boz Scaggs?
Oh, Boz Scaggs is sort of like semi-disco and semi, I don't want to really say that. I mean, he came up in the disco era. But he's got a little bit of a funky tip, but a little bit of a jazzy tip to him.
Okay, that's who Kermit Davis says his favorite. Whoever Kermit Davis is.
Boz Scaggs. There are a lot of good ones on there. I mean, I'm old school enough that I love the Temptations, so when I see them pop up a couple times, that's great. Bob Marley, fantastic. Marvin Gaye was a voice of a generation. I mean,
I want to listen to Bob Marley with Chaka Smart and Kwanzaa Martin.
That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In Colorado.
Sure.
Why not?
Steve Prohm went with Billy Joel. I want to know what his – I should have asked him on the radio show last night what his favorite Billy Joel song is.
Look, if I had a free moment with him, I would – I can't stand Billy Joel, okay? Now, that might infuriate –
That's what you would tell him?
Seniors. I'd be like, which one is good, you know? I mean, there are a couple that are okay, but, I mean, that Uptown Girl, oh, my gosh. Some of the early ones, My Life, you know, oh, they're so – Piano Man – oh, brutal. Not a Dang. Billy Joel fan.
Okay.
But Steve Prohm's a fine fellow.
Bob Huggins versus Brad Underwood, both fans of the Eagles.
A lot of people would. My wife hates the Eagles, by the way. I used to kind of like the Eagles, and I don't know why. You'd think if I liked the Eagles, I'd like Billy Joel because it's kind of like a mellow rock, you know. But I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine Huggins sitting back going, been running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. It's like that thing you put on the put on your Twitter. That great that great little video clip from the presser. He probably does have seven women on his mind.
That's outstanding. So Iowa State opens the tournament with Iona Thursday afternoon.
Heavily favored Iona. I know they're not favored, but favored by the pundits.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the Gaels?
I think they're AJ English is a singular talent. I mean, definitely. When you put up not only the points he puts up 22 plus, but he also rebounds and, you know, is their leading assist man by a wide margin. I mean, what a dynamic player. And I saw one of your fine film rooms is up, which shows some of his talents on display there. I mean, he's a tough guard. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't sit breaking down his game beyond the numbers that much, but is there any Buddy Hield look to him? I mean, or is he totally a different kind of player?
He's kind of like in that – I'd almost call him like – yeah, he's like a mid-major Buddy Hield. Not quite that good.
Yeah.
You know? Like, not like where when he gets across half court, you have to guard him. I mean, you've got to pick him up immediately when he gets across half court, because you have to have a hand up at all times, because he'll splash it from anywhere.
He's just a baller, though, isn't he?
From deep, but yeah, he's just good. Like, he's the guy that will bring it down, and then he'll hit you with a size-up dribble, and then he'll go right by you just in before you can even get turned around. I mean, he had Monmouth pretty shook a couple times.
Yeah, that's, you know, great player. Obviously, George had played him in AAU, he said, on Selection Sunday, and has a great deal of respect for him. George Niang, of course, and also was at the Adidas Nations camp with him, I think on the same team, and Monte met him there and joked that he had said, you know, you watch me, see what I'm going to do this year, and then said, you know, well, you did his thing, we did ours, and here we are. Should every to a person, it should be a fun game. Because both teams are going to get to do what they want to do the most, you know, you would think, which is get up and down. Iowa State's measured that a little bit this year. Not quite the pace it was the last few years, but it's not going to be 60-58.
No, definitely. I'd take the over. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm taking the over. I think the thing that I like that kind of struck me about Iona is that the teams are kind of similar. I mean, they're a lot. They don't really run a lot of sets. Iona doesn't. I mean, you'll see Iowa State have their games where they're getting out and they're running their sets, but when Iowa State really gets rolling and they're just spacing the floor and you're seeing George and everybody just playing, you know, that's how Iona plays a lot of the time. And you know, you'll see just AJ English will get a high ball screen, and then he'll just go to work, and then from there you're just playing basketball, and that's the same way it is a lot of the time with Monte. He'll get that high ball screen, and then he'll either pass it to George or he'll go to work and he'll do his thing, you know. And but then the thing about the Iona that's different than Iowa State is they've got every other guy on the floor except for Jordan Washington can shoot the three, and that's what makes them so incredibly dangerous, is that AJ English drives, okay, you've got to help over with somebody else, kicks it out, and then you've got a three-point shooter that can knock it down at a high clip.
Yeah, I mean, in Iowa State, the thing that would concern me in this matchup is the way Iowa State's turned the ball over in recent games as well. Sure, a number of those are offensive fouls that are iffy, and some of them are those phantom travel calls along with legit ones. But if that happens, then they get that many more looks. Mm-hmm. And then you can't – I mean – What did we say going into UAB last year? Iowa State, if there's a team Iowa State should out-rebound, it's them. I think they were statistically better across the board, and they just got demolished on the glass. And that's why they got upset, and that monumental upset last season, which, as Naz Long and others said, will haunt him, them, for the rest of their lives. So, you know, a shot at redemption for these guys, and I really don't I expect nothing but their best. Whether Monte Morris's physical best is 70-80%, that's still better than the vast majority of point guards. I like the Cyclones in this one.
What do you think about the rest of their draw?
You know, I think it really couldn't have been better. I mean, I think I actually agree with people that say they don't deserve a four. Yeah. I think they should be a five. I when I was seeing more sixes pop up, I was like, they don't deserve that.
But I wouldn't have been surprised to see Purdue and them switched.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised either. It's an intriguing matchup, Purdue, because very knowledgeable basketball people are coming at it from two ways. You look at Purdue's bigs, and as Jamil McKay told me and at least one other guy on Sunday, it's like he was watching them. He's like, man, those dudes are huge. Mm-hmm. And they are. I mean, Hammonds is not the only guy. They can get in there and bruise you, but they also put up a lot of threes, and they're not afraid to run. They just don't tend to do it very much because it doesn't play to their strengths. So I think that would – I think it's as good a draw as they could have hoped for, frankly. I mean, Little Rock, and then, you know, there's another trendy team that survived the conference tournament gauntlet that people were talking about as a team to watch as a potential 12 or 13, and there they are as a 12 that, you know, maybe they make some noise as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to look up Little Rock ended up number two in the nation in scoring defense. They, for a while, they were holding teams to, like, 55 points a game. I mean – and I'm going to look in KenPom, but their pace they play as slow as you possibly can play.
Yeah. Yeah, so Yeah, Cyclone fans would not be rooting for an upset there in all likelihood, just in terms of watching the game, although Purdue's a, it's a talented team.
345th. There are 351 teams in Division One. Right above Northern Iowa.
Mm.
And Virginia is the slowest team in Division One.
What a shocker. But, you know, it's successful. So, you know, kudos to Tony Bennett, you know, and his bunch. But I was surprised that Michigan State didn't get a one seed over either them or, to a lesser degree, Oregon.
Dude, I like Oregon a lot. I think they've got a chance to make a good run.
You figure they're Final Four? About to go through Kansas, right?
No.
No, no, of course not, because they're both number one. So who's their big
– Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
But I actually have – I think Texas A&M could beat Oklahoma too.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But, yeah, I have Oregon in my Final Four right now.
I think I do too. I'm going to tweak mine a little bit because I have one less early upset than I want.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Chattanooga.
Oh, okay.
Upsetting the Hoosiers.
Oh, okay. You don't like Yogi?
I love Indiana, but it's in these one-game scenarios sometimes. Right. And Chattanooga is hot as air. What did they win, 27 games? Now, Iona's won eight in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were a team – we talked about this and coming full circle a little bit. I mean, hot team, fast-paced team, true – a star that can carry them. That's huge. But I still see the Cyclones by double digits in this game because Georgian Yang is the who stops him.
Right.
And as you were mentioning, Jordan Washington, who McKay's familiar with, sort of like passing by and Indian Hills Community College, not playing on the same teams, but great production in not very many minutes. But the reason he doesn't play very many minutes because he fouls out so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was suspended a couple of games too. But, you know, imagine him, because wouldn't he have to be the guy? Because they don't have a lot of size.
Yeah, definitely.
With Georgia's skill set, I think he'll just give them absolute fits.
It really is just going to be one of those games where it's just get up and down. Jay Billis was talking about how their defense has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was that good. So I can't even imagine what it was like before.
It must
but
have
I guess
bad.
Iowa State's kind of the same situation sometimes, too.
Yeah, not highly regarded.
No.
Their defense, to put it mildly. You know, was it one guy who works for Campus Insider said they can't stop a nosebleed, you know.
Is that what he said about Iowa State?
Cliche Central.
So he said about Iowa State?
Yeah, that's what he said. First of all, good Lord, the nosebleed stop. I mean, we all resort to a little bit of cliche every now and then, but that was that's like an A+, meaning an F- cliche. And you know, so it's like, hey, another one picks Iona. I just don't see it. I mean, didn't see it last year either. I mean, that's what makes these games so unpredictable. I mean, forget how unpredictable they were in the regular season. Once you get to this one-and-done stage where weird things can happen, you know, I'm sure a lot of us are going to be printing up our brackets and then tearing them up and, you know, burning them.
What about Iowa? What do you think about Iowa?
You were telling me they're on the cover of sports. I assume a regional cover, but
There's four different covers. One of them, it's I think it's like Buddy Hield, North Carolina, somebody for North Carolina, somebody for UConn women, the UConn women. Mm. Sorry.
Yep.
And then Jared Utoff. That is correct. It's Bryce Johnson, Brianna Stewart, Buddy Hield, and Jared Utoff. It says we got this dance. It's anybody's title. Jared Utoff and the Hawkeyes disagree.
I don't know. I mean, if you would have told me a few weeks ago that they would lose, what, 6-7 or 6-8, 7-9, whatever the whole tally is down the stretch, I would have said based on body of work, no chance.
That's probably the same thing Sports Illustrated's saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, they seem to play scared.
Right.
You know, only Utoff or Jock could do anything for them. But this is another example of it's not always necessarily the hot team that once they get to the NCAA tournament, you know, that's where the teams that were, you know, if they're capable of the gut check, if they're capable of looking themselves in the mirror and at each other and say, you know what we were the last 3 weeks is not who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to that. Let's connect. Let's, I mean, sometimes, you know, a switch can be flipped. They're a talented team. I wouldn't put it past them to make a little run, but Temple's a really tough draw right off the bat, a team that's, you know, got a bit of tradition, but that's not what means anything. Just a tough-minded team like so many Temple teams are.
John Chaney.
I loved it when he kept going after John Calipari. Maybe he knew. Maybe he had time traveled and knew that Calipari's favorite band was going to be Train, so he felt he had to come after him to knock some sense into him.
Definitely. Yeah, I picked Temple like on a first reaction, but I'm thinking about – I'm changing it. I'm going
to
change it.
I think I am too. I'm in the exact same boat on that one.
What do you think? Do you think Northern Iowa's going to be able to – so many people are saying they're going to go Sweet 16. Are you saying they're going to go Sweet 16?
I mean, this is a team that was struggling in a pretty down valley for a lot of the year, but then they got hot when they needed to get hot.
Yeah. I think they'll beat Texas, but I don't – or can beat Texas.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think they can beat Texas, but, Cameron Ridley can play 10, 12 minutes.
Dude, I don't –
He could get nine boards in that time.
I'm not buying into Cam Ridley being back and that helping the team.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
They just have to play so different with him. Yeah. He's not that big. He's not that run and gun guy.
That's true. But, I mean, you did play with him until, what was it, December 19th?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
They weren't exactly playing that well.
Right. That was a long time ago. And yeah. Then they had to change the way they played after they lost him. So you want to go away from what's been good for all season long?
It's a tough deal because, I mean, he is a double-double.
Right. I see where you'd want him to be back, and it definitely would be a big addition. But I see a negative to it, too.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I think the positive would outweigh the negative. Obviously, you don't insert him or play him mm-hmm. as if he's a starter or even a sixth man. But a guy, again, if he could give you 10 minutes of you know, full wind, you know, going at it, you know, at full strength, you know, I think he could be, you know, again, the positives would outweigh the negatives of him being back, while understanding, you know, the chemistry aspect, the pace, I would affect that. I don't know. I just think on balance, it would be at least a bit of a plus, but that'll be an intriguing matchup as well. I'm really wavering back and forth who I'm going to pick in that game.
I think Texas A&M is a pretty juicy matchup in the second round too.
Yeah, that would be.
There's some good storylines. Like usually they don't.
Indiana, Kentucky, possibly in Des Moines.
Dude, I love the Watford for the win. That was in 2011. Mm. It's still one of my favorite basketball games of all time.
Oh yeah.
But like it's just the committee tries to say they don't look at the matchups, you know, or like the matchups down the road. But then you see stuff like that, and they don't want to play each other. So they're like, we're going to make you play each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know.
Did you see the Kentucky fan that said there's nothing to do in Des Moines? Don't come to Des Moines?
Yep. Good for him. He doesn't know that Des Moines is one of the hippest up-and-coming cities.
Let's go to Lexington.
Yeah, exactly. Might find some horses to race. Some bourbon. Got that going for him.
I can't say I'm a big horse guy or a big – I like bourbon, I guess.
Yeah, you just don't like scotch.
No, scotch is the worst. The worst.
Yeah, that was inevitably going to happen to Des Moines, you know, because you're going to get – and look, it's not like you're going to the Big Apple. It's not like you're going to Denver. It's not like you're going to Chicago. It's not like you're going to L.A.
Right.
You freaking come from Lexington, Kentucky.
He said it's cornfields everywhere. Cornfields everywhere.
Oh, see around here, a bunch of cornfields. I can't even find a good bourbon anywhere. A bunch of crap out here. I don't even want to watch the games. I'm going to leave. I mean, what a moron. I wish we knew who that guy was.
I can find out.
Can chase him down.
Yeah. We can shame him right here on the... Cycle Fanatic podcast.
Indeed.
I forgot what we were doing right now. Riley Calhoun. Poor Riley Calhoun. He's probably been getting killed on his Twitter today. These people from Iowa responded 2 days later to my tweet, even though I have been to Des Moines and was talking about the road trip of corn. The road trip.
Well, you know what? If you are on the highways, let's face it, it's pretty monotonous terrain. It's not like it's a thrilling ride. Now, the good thing
it's not thrilling to ride anywhere across the United States.
Well, but if you're in the near the Rocky Mountains, you know, you've got some scenery. If you're up in the Black Hills of South Dakota, you got some scenery.
So the fact that you have to drive, you got some scenery. So the fact that you have to drive through the corn.
Well, the boot
is what the make or break it.
He could
is.
Have flown too.
Yeah,
I mean, and you're going to get that everywhere. At least with Iowa, you get enough exits to break it up, so you can go and get yourself a bag of Cheetos.
Yeah,
or something on the way. Whereas that interminable drive from through Nebraska, if you're going to Denver, where not only is it utterly monotonous, but it seems like it's 150 miles to the next exit.
That's my old stomping grounds.
Indeed.
Scott's Bluff. That's where I was born.
Really?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Lived there for, 3 years. Yeah, so sure I don't really remember it, but yeah.
Sure, it's a wonderful place. You'll go back. You'll go back to your roots. And you'll do the drive and you'll say, oh, my God.
This is awful. Yeah. I would never want to
I wish
back
I could
here
fly
again.
In.
Yeah.
This moron could have I shouldn't use that term. But this guy.
This guy that is not this fool,
why didn't
the
he
brightest?
Just fly? Why didn't he just fly?
Maybe he doesn't have the money to fly. Yeah. I don't know what flights from Lexington to Des Moines go
for.
Yeah,
that's true. Everything is jacked up right around now. So, yeah, that's a good point. But
are you
enough about him.
Are you going to go out and enjoy the city during the NCAA tournament?
Am I?
Are you going to take in any of the atmosphere of like?
I've covered enough tournaments that I don't really see any point to it.
I've been thinking about it. The only problem is that I'm here by myself and I don't have any friends.
Mm.
So if anyone wants to be my friend and go to Des Moines with
me, because obviously I'm not.
Hit me up
on
Twitter.
You don't call me your friend anymore. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, Rob. I removed you from my friends list.
That's no problem. I'll live.
So who are you going to put in your Final Four?
Well, I don't have my bracket right in front of me, but I have a hard time not putting Kansas there, not just because they're top, you know, maybe it's familiarity, but seems like a year in which they could get there. I think I'm going to have Michigan State there.
To fly from Lexington, Kentucky to Des Moines, it's a lot of money.
Is that one way?
Yeah, it looks like you have a connecting flight, too.
Oh, it's actually cheaper than some. But either way, it is a fair deal of chunk. But
that's a lot more money than I've got to spend on a flight.
I without having the bracket in front of me, and I don't want to misrepresent my bracket, but I believe I had Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, and who did I have out of the other region?
Oregon.
Yeah, I think I did put Oregon there. So I had a one, and a two, and a four.
Mm-hmm. I like Kentucky. I don't know. I think I have them losing to West Virginia, though.
That's another. I mean,
West Virginia
is
all
so
of a
awesome.
Sudden a trendy pick for the Final Four. I've seen people picking them to go to the national championship game.
Yeah, and I mean they're. You know, people hate on them and, you know, deservedly so to some degree because of the
right
bump and run style and everything, but they make it work and they got players and they've got a great coach. You might not like watching them. You might not like the fact that you had to miss half the game unless you had watched ESPN or it went to ESPN News for a lot of Cyclone games on the heels of a West Virginia foul fest that took 2 hours and 40 minutes. But, They're really good. You know, it's a really good team. So, I mean, they're definitely a good dark horse choice because that's a tough team to prepare for, particularly for Saturday and such a short turnaround to prep for that defense, you know, in one day.
I feel like it comes down to officiating a lot for them.
Mm-hmm.
How the officials do their game is going to be – is going to make or break whether or not they're winning.
Yeah, if they find a crew that they're going to be sticklers about everything, then they're going to be in trouble. Now, the good thing for them is that they have guys at 10 and 11 on their roster that can actually come in and be productive if, say, guys 2 and 4 are in foul trouble and having to sit on the bench a lot.
Right.
Or even foul out. They can still operate at a high level. But that's still a tough, you know, that's a key part of the equation for sure.
I could see them in Houston, or I could see them losing to Stephen F. Austin in the first round.
Yeah.
Who else we got here? I like Seton Hall.
I do too.
It's but I also think too. I also like Gonzaga too.
I know. When you get Wiltshire and Sabonis, I mean,
Wiltshire cannot guard anyone. He might be one of the worst defensive players I've ever seen in my life. Like in that, in their the Western West Coast Conference championship game.
Yeah, they were talking about it all the time.
Right,
too.
He just got continuously drove right by. I was like, come on, dude, how can you be this bad defensively? He's gonna make a boatload of money somewhere by just like scoring 40 points a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about some of the teams being left out? Like Saint Bonaventure? I don't know a lot about them, but if it's so bad that your athletic director or your like commissioner of your conference has to release a statement like about a team being left out, you know it's bad.
Wasn't it
and their athletic director too, I think.
Wasn't it St. Joseph's coach blasted the committee on St. Bonaventure being out, I think?
Probably.
Because I mean regular
Coach Cal was mad too. Joe Lenardi was mad.
Regular
Everybody
season
was mad.
They were the I mean you know, dude, the case show. Can be made for San Diego. Oh, yeah,
the
let's
selection
not even
show.
Get started.
Was
Thank God for the
man.
Leaked bracket.
Oh my God,
it was a comeuppance. I love for milking every last thing. Who's going to go to that commercial break? Who's going to buy X, Y, and Z in addition?
Selection Sunday 2016 will forever live in Twitter history. It will be a day that will always be remembered.
Yeah, and it'll live in history. Period. Because I mean, all the excruciating touchscreen and you know. Why not wait until the games start on TBS and TNT and True TV to have Charles Barkley, who I find immensely entertaining and a great personality and was a great NBA basketball player, and I like his NBA analysis, to be exposed as a guy that absolutely refuses to do any research or watch any games coming in.
Right.
He just, I mean, immediately he gets exposed, and then it's like, here we are, it's time for the brackets, and by the way, it's a two-hour show, and what a debacle. I mean, and the league break, I mean, it will be a 30 for 30 someday type thing. I mean, if ESPN can survive.
How they're going to find out who it was that leaked the bracket.
Yeah, I mean, what can they do to him?
Right.
I mean, if you work for CBS, they can fire him. Well, so what? He'll become like an instant celebrity. I'll bet if he revealed then who he was on Twitter and started an account, he'd have 100,000 plus followers immediately.
What if it was Greg Gumbel? He was mad that Ernie Johnson was getting Barkley. So much more airtime.
It's Barkley.
Everybody got mad at him because he couldn't run the touchscreen, so he just released the bracket.
Oh, it was surreal. Because you're sitting there, you want to do your story, and they're all sitting there in their chairs, and they're at Johnny's at Hilton, and you know they want to get it. And at least a couple, when I asked about the leak bracket, were like, oh, yeah, I saw it. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's no big deal. You know, and all that, but it had to have been nice because it was otherwise very, and they did a nice job of, you know, getting up and being all excited, but most of them knew.
Yeah.
Most of them knew, unless they chose to just say, no, don't show me that. You know.
I don't know why you would have done that.
What a crazy day. Yeah, you'd want to know, you're sitting there, there we go.
I loved it when Charles was like talking about Cal. He said, I don't know how they lost 10 games. And he just kept talking. And he never said who he was talking about. Yeah. He just continued to talk.
Yep.
And Ernie's like, who are you talking about? oh, Cal, okay. You don't ever say, you just talk. Like you gotta say something about who you're talking about.
Focus.
That was just TV history.
Absolutely. And
you'll live in infamy.
It will. It will, and hopefully it means that it'll never happen again.
Won't bank on it. I guess ESPN's show was really good. I didn't watch it. It had Mark Titus. Do you know? Yeah, you know about Mark Titus. Yeah. Benghazi, or Denzghazi. Mark Titus had nothing to do with Benghazi.
Now we're going in the political sphere.
Yeah. Let's avoid that at all costs.
We've got to. But, yeah. I'm sure that was a great show. I mean, CBS.
Scott Van Pelt. That was a crew.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do we got? I've got the Cyclones probably by, I'd say, 12 against Iona. And I've got them no degree of confidence. I've got him beating Purdue, but then it ends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got very little, you know, call it 50-50. And I don't know. I just feel a return to the Sweet 16 is coming.
That's what I said, too. I think they'll win by 15. I think they could beat Purdue by 10.
I think they could. I mean, if they get going and shoot at a high clip, I mean, they're going to negate some of that potential. And we've seen it some of these games, even though the Cyclones rebounding hasn't been bad recently. Even against some of the bigger teams with some of the bigger margins recently, they've bucked right, you know, right up there.
I'm preparing for a Scott Drew type Elite Eight run in which Texas Tech or Butler upsets Virginia.
Mm.
And then they play the Red Raiders in the Sweet 16.
That would be amazing. I only wish that I could cover it.
Tubby Smith would just be shaking his fist at everyone that said he shouldn't be national coach of the year after Trent Johnson outdueled him.
That's right. Oh God, how much has happened in the last? I mean, we haven't even talked about Monte. Well,
Johnson got fired.
70-80%. It's terrible, isn't it? I was sending you pictures of him. I was taking pictures from the West Virginia game.
Were you taking those on your phone?
Yeah.
Those were good pictures.
I figured out a way to use the burst a little bit better.
Okay.
That the one of Devin Williams dunking, I was surprised how clear that was.
Yeah, definitely.
Because usually you'd get a big blur
right
on that. But it was good times. And then Hug sat right next to Chris and I.
And then apparently they've formed a search committee at Oklahoma State, but they haven't fired their coach yet.
Yeah, that's awkward. I mean, I'm Travis Ford. I'm almost relieved.
Did you say anything to Bob Huggins? Sorry, I kind of jumped over that.
But I thought about it, but I also was like, what am I going to ask him about? If I'd known about the bands, I would have asked him what his favorite Eagles song was.
Hotel California. Probably. It's got to be.
Probably. Witchy Woman.
You know, he just loves that smooth rock.
Yeah, smooth country rock.
I can just imagine him, like, after a tough game, he just sits down in his office.
Pours himself a drink.
Uh-huh. No, cracks open a, what do they drink in West Virginia? Moonshine. Natty Light.
Okay.
Or moonshine. Yeah, there you go. Just a big old jar of moonshine with some Eagles.
Starts up some game tape.
Uh-huh.
And then the Eagles' greatest hits pops up in the, in his, $4,000 little surround sound setup.
To spend a day with Hugs, I'd pay a lot of money.
I'd pay at least as much as it would take to fly a round trip from Des Moines to Lexington. I'll tell you that much. But it's good to be back with the seniors. We'll probably do a football one shortly as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Practice heats up.
Well, if they win, I think Chris wants us to do a podcast on Friday.
Mm.
So people can have that to look forward to in case for a win. Actually, I'm actually this afternoon going back down to Ankeny to record the Fawcast with Adam Gray and Mark Charter.
I'm sure that'll be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, so you can look for that tomorrow morning. We're going to post that first thing Wednesday.
Cool.
So make sure to check that out, Rob. I'm sure you'll have all kinds of good stuff later this week.
Chris on the ground in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be
safe travels to CW.
Indeed.
And then we'll be back next week.
Yep.
Check out my film room.
Hopefully Friday.
Learn about the Iona Gales.
For sure.
Thanks for listening, dudes.